privilege to pray, have a privilege to get a hold of our Heavenly Father. And you know what? I have never found a busy signal. Every time I've ever went to God's throne of grace with a broken and contrite heart, I've never got a busy signal. And you know, the Lord is so wonderful that he just helps us every day, doesn't he? I mean, just in the everything, everyday things of life, you know, he just is so wonderful how he, you ask him, you know. My wife says all the time, she says, how come you can get up and you don't set the clock? I said, just ask the Lord. He'll get you up. And I've done that for years and years and years. And you know, you tell him wake you up at 6, he'll wake you up. He will do it. I mean, just practical things that God, I love him this morning. I love serving him, and I owe him my life. Because he give his for me. And by God's grace, Pastor, I want to give it all to him. I don't want to hold back. I want him to have it all. Amen? Just have it all. And, you know, he did so much for us that it's a light thing for us to give him our all. He that giveth him his life, you know, he said, if you give your life to him, you'll keep it. But if you keep your life, you know, you lose it. You lose out on a lot, don't you, if you don't give your life to God. First, I want to thank you so much for the years, the many years that you have been so faithful in giving to the work in Brazil. And it's so wonderful this morning to be able to bring a report to you of what's happening over the past few years in Brazil. We're working on our 35th year as missionaries in Brazil. We were called about 38 years ago. We were called to the mission field, and so the Lord has given us the privilege of almost serving for 35 years there in Brazil. And the Lord has been good. I thank him, first of all, that we're saved by the marvelous grace of God. Around teenage years, I gave my life to the Lord, and God's been good. Amen, God. You know, when I got saved that night, I looked at myself and thought for sure that I'd changed on the outside, but, you know, I changed on the inside. That's where it started. And, you know, since then, the Lord's been working on me. Amen. And he's still working on me. Thank God for the privilege that we know that he that hath begun a good work in us will perform that work until the day of Jesus Christ. I know that he didn't have much to work with and still don't, but you know, God can perform more miracles, can't he? He can perform miracles. All he needs, Dr. Seitler used to say, Dr. Harold B. Seitler, he said, only God can take a crooked stick and draw a straight line. Only God can do that. So the Lord's been good to us. Saved at a young age, got married young. I met my wife in school, in high school. Well, we dated for 3 years. We're just waiting on the age to come about so we could get married. And we've had the privilege of dating for those 3 years, but dating back then was different than it is today. A lot different. So I would go to her home, and her mother-in-law, my mother-in-law, which is 91 years old. She'll be 92 years old in May. She used to tell us, sit there on the couch and behave yourself. So that's what we did for 3 years, sat there on the couch and behaved herself. Amen. For 3 years. And but thank God there's no regrets today. Yes. Amen. 48 years ago, we were married, September the 20th, 48 years ago. So no regrets of what my mother-in-law trained us to do. Amen. I was just a kid too, so she just trained us both. Amen. We surrendered to the Lord. My wife was saved in Vacation Bible School, and a missionary had come to their church, and She gave her life to God. She didn't know it at the time, but she gave her life to God to be a missionary. When she got saved, she just surrendered because those folk made such an impression on her. She gave her life to the Lord at a young age as well in Vacation Bible School. And after getting married, we were saved, sealed, and leaking. No. No, we were saved, but we wasn't dedicated to God. And in an independent, fundamental Baptist church, let me back up just a little bit. When I was 18, I was called to the service, into service in the Army. And so we already had one child. I was turning 19 years of age already. And so I moved out of her home, took my wife back to her parents, and my young son, Paul, they moved back in with Mom. And so I get on a bus to go to the service. And while in Kentucky, they did several exams. You know, they put you through physicals and different things. So as they put me through the physicals, they discovered that I had a problem with my back. Some of the vertebrae were not aligned or had too much of a gap in them. And they thought that wouldn't be possible for me to go through all the training. So they put me in 1H and sent me back home and said, we'll check you in 1 year and we'll see if we still need you. And so on the way back, in the back of that bus, now my wife said goodbye for at least 6 months. You know, you go to basic training or every 6 weeks or what it is. But in the back of that bus, the Lord, he just sit down with me there beside of me. And I promised him. First of all, I thanked him that, you know, I would more than go into service and fight for our country. I would never return, you know, I never refuse that. Never, never, never do that. And if it would be that to die for our country, I would have, you know, if that would have happened, and back in Vietnam, that could have happened very, very easily. But anyway, on the way back, I promised God in that bus that I would serve him the rest of my life. And it wasn't just, you know, just something out of my mouth. It came from my heart. And so I got back, and my wife was so happy to see me back. So shortly thereafter, we got in a good fundamental independent Baptist church, and we surrendered our lives to God. We were 19 or 20 years old at that time. And thank God, since then, we've had our feet under the table of God. Amen. God has strengthened us. God has helped us. God has given us three wonderful children. We have children. My oldest boy, Dr. Paul Pritchard Jr., is a president of Preach Evangelistic Ministries. He has started churches in Brazil. He's got a church that he started there, Brother Keith, years ago, still going today. And he came home in 2000 from mission field and started preaching and teaching and going into other countries that speak Portuguese. There's 9 countries in the world that speak Portuguese. And so God laid on his heart to go into these countries where he could evangelize these countries because he'd done put together so much material in Portuguese. He was very, very fluent in the language, in the Portuguese language. So he came back home to his mission board, which was not BIMI, it was another mission board. And he went to the mission board, and the mission board did not understand what he wanted to do. They said, how in the world are you going to tell churches that you're going to 9 countries? You know, and they just couldn't grasp what he was wanting to do. But he came to me and said, Dad, this is what God has put on my heart. I'm sure about it. And I said, well, if God wants you to do it, you do what God wants you to do. So that's what came about, the mission board PREACH. It's PREACH Evangelistic Ministries, because he founded a mission board to do the work that God called him to do. And so he's got 10 families or so with him now that go into these countries. He went to Mozambique, Africa first. And in Mozambique, Africa, he trained for 2 years, one people, and trained them every day, all day, trained for 2 years. And then he went out and started 12 churches at one time, bush churches. And so he left Mozambique. So he went back to Cape Verde, West Africa. And today in Cape Verde, West Africa, they have several churches. They also have a Bible college. And my grandson, Philip, is the president of the Bible College in Africa. Now, he's 28 years old, my grandson. And so the Lord has blessed him. And Paul works in Romania. He works in Mozambique. He works in Guinea-Bissau. He had an accident. I want to tell you all about Brazil, but let me get this over to you. He had an accident in Africa, and he had planned, I told one of the brothers, that he had already made plans to take take 30 people to Cape Verde, Africa. He'd already made plans, and he had an accident in March, and he had to take this trip in May. So he calls me in Brazil and said, Daddy, I am up again. I came home because he had a real terrible accident, 22 breaks on his right side, many operations, many surgeries. And I came to the United States and saw him in the hospital. And he said, Daddy, I cannot make this trip to Africa. He said, but it's all planned. We're planned to visit schools and give out packets, which consists of a New Testament and, you know, different other things, a packet. And he said, Dad, can you do that? I said, yes, sir, I can do it. I can take them. So I called Brazil, got my assistant pastor. I said, listen, I need you in Africa. So he got a plane, and he flew and met me over in Africa to help me with this group of people. And we visited over 50 schools in 17 days, from almost daylight to way after dark. We visited 17 schools, and we put these packets in the hands of 42,000 students. 42,000 students. They had some schools, they had 3,000 students. They had an open area down there, and they let us go into each classroom. And they gave us 10 to 15 minutes in each classroom so we could present the gospel. And these people that I took with me, Brother Keith, they couldn't speak the language, but I needed someone to help me carry the materials. It took a case of this material was, I think, 32 or something like that, 32 pounds or something in each case, and I needed people to help me carry those cases. We had to have a truck to haul the materials. That was a big thing. So anyway, they had this one open area in one school, and they'd bring me 200 students. I'd preach 15 minutes, and they'd get their material. You know, we had the materials lined up all around the walls. They'd come, I'd preach, they'd get the material and go back. Now, I did that for hours. And message after message, preach to them in Portuguese, they'd get the material and go back to their classroom. And I'll tell you, we had, I don't know how many were saved, but there was, amen, hundreds trusted the Lord. And so, praise the Lord, that's some extra curriculum that I've done, you know, for the Lord going into Africa. One more thing about Africa that I'm going to tell you about Brazil, okay? Paul and I, what Paul did in West Africa, he visited the schools, and he went to the top people in the schools, the directors. And he said, I want to come into your schools, and I want to give out a Bible and material to every student.
So after, you know, plans and everything, this is what he had planned already. All these plans was already in the making. There were 96,000 students in the whole country. And now all those 96,000 students have a Bible.
Amen.
And that's in Cape Verde, West Africa. So Paul and I got on a plane and we flew to Guinea-Bissau, Africa, which has over 1 million people. We flew into Guinea-Bissau on a Sunday in a hotel, and a gentleman came to us, looked like some kind of soldier, had a black suit, a white shirt, and about 6'5", big fella. He said, "What are you doing here?" And honestly, when we went into Guinea-Bissau, you could see us coming from a long ways, if you know what I mean. We kind of stuck out, if you know what I mean. Anyway, he said, what do you want? And Paul and I told him, said, "We want to come into your country. We want to give Bibles to your school students." And so he just went on about his business. But you know where the Bible says that Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," right? Then there's another verse on down there that says, "And lo, I am with you always." Glory to God. And it's the same here. If you go to present the gospel, he's with us. He lives in us. He's always going to be there.
Amen.
But when you go and present the gospel and you go for his mission, he is literally with you.
Yes.
Not only, I mean, his presence. Anyway, that man left. We never seen him before in our lives. The next morning, Monday during the day, he came back to that hotel. And he said, "What?" He said, "You was talking to me yesterday about seeing someone that, you know, to come into." I said, "Yes, sir, we were. We mentioned to you what we wanted to do here in the country." "Now, you talk about God." He said, "Well, I've got your meeting in the morning at 8 o'clock.
Amen.
You got us a meeting. You got us a meeting with who?" He said, "My cousin's the president here." He said, "My cousin." He said, "He's the president of this country." 8 o'clock in the morning. So Paul and I got a taxi and went over there to the palace. And I mean, we just, oh man, they just spread it out. And we went in there and we was there for about 45 minutes. He said, "Yes, sir, men. Yes, sir, you can do it. You can come." And he stamped papers, folks. He stamped papers that takes years and years and years to get, to give us authority to go into the country. And my son said, can I visit? We had a special meeting with the ministers of education. I mean, he got us with the top people. We went in and had another meeting with them. And my son took a couple extra external drives for computers. And he downloaded all of their, he said, "I'll fix this up for you and give you a good census of how many students you have here in this country." And so he downloaded all that, and we went and got paper signed. We was going this way and that way, got paper signed down at the port where we could come into the port, bring the containers in free of charge. So we discovered that there were 360,000 students in that country. And thank God, since then, upon I've come back, worked in the States to raise the Bibles and get 360,000 Bibles, 360,000 pens, 360,000 notebooks, 360,000 Born of God books to put in that packet. And it was just phenomenal. It's just so much you couldn't even imagine. But anyway, Paul, since then, has built a big church there in Guinea-Bissau, and they are working today to get that 360,000 students visited. Okay, let's talk about Brazil. Went to Brazil in 1983. Went to language school in 83 and 84. They speak Portuguese. You want to hear a little Portuguese?
Yeah.
Okay, John 3:16. You all know John 3:16. Porque Deus amou o mundo de tal maneira que deu seu filho unigênito para que todo aquele que nele crê não pereça, mas tenha vida eterna. That's John 3:16. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God, right? Porque pela graça sois salvos por meio da fé, e isso não vem de vós, é dom de Deus. Okay. And that's what we speak there in Brazil. And so thank God for that. They speak Portuguese in Africa, you know, several countries. So we were able to just go into these countries and just speak to them, you know, just like you do speaking English to English. And so the Lord, after finishing language school, Sharon and her three boys moved into the interior of the state of São Paulo. And this was in December, I think December the 24th or 25th is Christmas. We moved into the interior, and in February of that year, 1985, we moved there in December of 84, and in February 24th, 1985, we went and started the first independent Baptist church in Jorginópolis. That's the city. Jorginópolis is where we live and where we've started our first work. That church today, from 1985 to now, is 32 years old. It's going to be 33 years old. They have about 100 members. They have their own pastor. They have their own, they pay the pastor. That's been a long time coming, but thank God they have their own pastor. They pay his salary. The church has givers. Just like you, they love God and they give out of a cheerful heart. You know, that's good, isn't it? That's good. In 1990, we went into another city and started another church. In 1990. In 1992, we went in and started another church in another area. And then in 1997, Sharon and I moved to a city called Bauru. And we started a church there in Bauru. That's 1997. We had left the main church. And in 2005, the main church was suffering. They lost their pastor. And they asked Sharon and I to come back and to help them. So we did. 2005, we went back to that city, Jorginópolis. And we helped them to get back on their feet again. So the church this time, thank God, is real strong and doing good. And then in 2010, we started a church with a few other pastors in a place called Serra Azul, which means Blue Mountain. And that church today has its own pastor. They have bought property, and they're building their church there. That was started in 2010. In 2011, 2012, we started another church in a place called Arueira. Okay, you don't have to remember that. And then that church struggled along. We put a man that I ordained in that work. But in 2016, which was last year, in May of 2016, we bought property several years ago for this work. We bought property, but we were able, by God's grace, I'm sure you've seen in our prayer cards, we were trying to raise money to get a building built. And thank God that building is built. That building is beautiful. And they are, since 2016, having services in their new church. And praise the Lord. My son, Paul Jr., was called to the mission field there in Brazil. Also, my grandson, Philip, he is a missionary, 28 years old. He's a missionary as well. My son, Mark, is working in a church in Greenville, South Carolina. He's works in one of the churches there. He helps in the music. Also, in the main church, here's what I've tried to do over the years. It's just a few things. I've tried to inspire people to serve God.
I have tried to instruct people to serve God. And I've tried to include people in serving God in those works. And what the church has produced, the main church has produced these men that are, we have a Bible college, we had a Bible college, we're still teaching what we combined the Bible college and another Bible college in a nearby city. And I always taught the book of Galatians in that college. But now my pastor there, he is in that college teaching as well now. So Honaldo, I was telling Brother Keith about Honaldo last night. Honaldo is a man that has a memory that if he sees it and reads it, he's got it. That's amazing, isn't it? And he had no clue that he could do these things. So I started years ago, this has probably been 20 years ago, in Sunday school. I took the first 5 minutes, and I told him, I said, I want you to read Ephesians chapter 1, just for an example, or John chapter 1. And I told him, I said, now next week, I'm gonna leave blanks out. I'm going to quote some things and leave blanks, and I want you to fill in the word that goes in that chapter. So this Ronaldo, he was a young man then. The next Sunday he comes in, and when I start asking questions, he raises his hand. And I give him a chance to answer the question. Of course, he did. If I'd ask another question, his hand goes up again. And I'd give him, and he'd answer it, and then I'd say another one. I'd go down to the end of the chapter, and I'd say, leave a blank out, and there his hand goes. I said, what are you going to do, just leave your hand up all the time? He said, well, if you ask me anything in chapter 1, I know it. I said, well, go on to chapter 2. He did. He could answer anything in chapter 2. I said, go on to chapter 3. He went to chapter 3. He could answer anything in chapter 3. He went to chapter 4. And then I tried to trick him. I said, what about chapter 1? No, I still got it. So he memorized the book of Ephesians, 6 chapters, just memorized the whole book. I said, Ronaldo, if God's given you this gift, I said, you need to use it. He's my Sunday school teacher. He always has. He's preached and everything. He's even helped me pastor the church when I was on furloughs. But anyway, several, I don't know exactly how many, probably at least 10 New Testament books he can quote. And thousands of scriptures in Ezekiel and Psalms and but when I came to the States, he was memorizing the book of Proverbs. And he was on chapter 17 of the book of Proverbs. Now you know that would be almost impossible, wouldn't it, to memorize how that those proverbs are laid out. But he did. That's Ronaldo. He's one of the best friends as well as a servant of God. Paulinho, preaching the gospel there in the church. Also Luis, Pastor Luis, we've ordained him, and he's in one of the new churches. Ade Wilson, which is going to graduate from Bible college in December. And we're already making plans for him to take a church in another city that has just a handful of members. They have no pastor. And we're praying about letting him take that church after he gets out of Bible college. And thank God for Andrea, which is also one of the servants there in the church. By the way, Ronaldo, he is not only a Sunday school teacher, but he is a song leader. He is the choir leader, leads the choir. He is the orchestra leader with all the instruments. They've started an orchestra about 3 years ago in our church with all the different types of instruments. And it is a blessing to hear, I tell you. It is. You know, music is, you can hear music, you don't have to hear the words, but, you know, you can put your own words to it, amen. If you're English, you put English words. If you're Portuguese, you put Portuguese words. Hobson is the pastor of the new church right now. Hobson, he's been there. We ordained him back in December of 2016, and he took the church January the 1st, 2017. So he's Marcus, another man in Bible college that will finish Bible college in December. We have another man called Paulo. He also is a preacher. And we have another man called Juscelio. He's a fill-in. He helps us with with the preaching as well. So the Lord has been gracious to us to allow us to start these churches and to maintain them, you know, to keep going and provide for their needs. And as God saves and trains these men, we desire, by God's grace, to start another work. We already have the city chosen where we're going to start a church. It's a place called Juduse. We want to start a church there either in 2018 or 2019. So God has been good to us. And so thank you so much for being a part of the ministry there in Brazil. And one day, by God's amazing grace, I'm going to introduce you to a handful and a multitude of Brazilians, amen, that love God, that love God. I'll introduce you. We have a little time when we get home. I'll introduce you one at a time, one at a time. And I'll tell them, I said, listen, this is the reason. These folk are the reason that I could go and preach the gospel to you. You know, Paul said this, 2 Corinthians 4. You know, he said, for gospel be hid, it's hid to them as lost, right? In whom the God of this world is blind the minds, them believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into them. And you know, Paul said this. He said, I am Christ's servant. Talking to the Corinthian church. He said, I am Christ's servant for your sake. You can't go, Brother Gene said yesterday, said, you know, everybody can't go to mission field. But I think I'm too close to that. Okay. But he said, we can pray. We stand out in the parking lot. He said, we can pray and we can send. And I'm so thankful that God's chosen me to go. If I had it to do over, Brother Keith, I'd try to do a better job, but I'd go back to Brazil. And if I had another life to live, I'd give it back to the Lord and go to Brazil. But you know what I'm seeing? God is so wonderful and God is so gracious. He's letting it be lived through my son, 47 years old, through my grandson, which is a missionary, 28 years old, and he has four children. My grandson has four children. Like his papa, he got started early and didn't stop. He's got two boys and two girls, Mason and Micah. And I asked my grandson, I said, Philip, is it all right if I pray that these two boys will be raised up and serve God? And he said, Papa, I'm already praying. Amen. So thank God we got something. We go on to glory. We got something we can say. Thank God the Lord let us lay down some tracks. Amen. So God bless you. God bless your heart. I am so thankful to be a part of this church. And I thank God how God has blessed you and given you a building, given you people that love God, and given you fellowship that you have. You know, just nothing like it, is there? Nothing like it. Nothing in this world. God bless you. Amen.